A lot has happened between the second reading and now, so I'm going to offer for us a couple of verses from the second reading, since that's what I'm focusing on for us this morning. Paul wrote, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are in one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, compassionate, and cheerfulness." Now, I don't know if it's just a phrase that some of us pastor clergy type know, or if it's a church leadership phrase, but a common phrase that I think of when something like this comes up, and especially we talk about sacrifices, is the problem with living sacrifices is they keep crawling off the altar. You ever heard that before? Well, it's true, right? They keep crawling off the altar. They don't stay put, and we'd rather not talk about it altogether. Because oftentimes when we talk about sacrifices, our mind immediately goes to Old Testament stuff, and we talk about death and kind of gore and some kind of nasty things. We cringe when we think about sacrifice, because we often think it's about death. Sacrifice equals being fatal. Or maybe I think sometimes we cringe a little bit when we think about sacrifice because people focus on what they will lose when they offer a sacrifice. But Paul, in today's reading, and so often throughout his readings, his writings, he offers an opportunity for us to consider something different about the word sacrifice. He calls us to remember that this word comes from the same word as sacred. Instead of thinking as a sacrifice is something that we need to give up or get away or take away or to even kill, Paul invites us to recognize that true sacrifice means setting something apart as sacred and holy and invaluable to God. And that thing that we are to make holy is, in fact, ourselves. And our whole selves are called to be holy and sacrifice to God. I think Paul tells us in remarkable language, in fact, pretty concise language, what it takes to be transformed into the Christ-likeness that we are called to be instead of conformed to the world. And I think he encourages us that being attentive to the Spirit, we are able to know God's desire for us and therefore to become living sacrifices for God and for the holy. In order to be transformed into Christ-like people, we, I think, must fight oftentimes against the urge to be conforming to the world around us, to be more like the world around us than what God perhaps is desiring us to be. And I'm going to be even bold to say that I think churches struggle with this as well, not just us as individuals. In our eagerness oftentimes to be accessible, to be inviting, and to be welcoming, churches often try to look and act the least like church that they can. And I sometimes think that churches make themselves attractive for those whom the world has thought of church as negative and sometimes even painful, to the detriment of what church is called to be. Oftentimes, and we probably have all experienced it, right? Some of you are smiling at me and smirking. Churches strive, I think, to accommodate the needs and the desires of worldly people. These churches sometimes, I think, find themselves offering faith as a commodity or something that you can gain or something that you want to attain, rather than faith as a life-giving, life-changing, transformative gift. By God's grace, Paul writes, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think. In other words, don't get all puffed up. We have that word in Scripture as well. Don't get all puffed up, but think of yourselves with modesty, according to the faith that God gives you. I think God, and through Paul's words, are calling us to be transformed and to have clarity about ourselves in relationship to God, but also in relationship to one another and to the whole church. Following Jesus, I think, sometimes without even our knowing it, changes our thinking from being self-centered people to being God-centered people, and therefore community, church-centered people. Instead of putting ourselves first, we recognize our place, our particular role within the larger body of Christ, and therefore can live into that purpose and to that function and do it with humility. At the last council meeting, in our time of introduction to Anne, our new office person, we got to go around and talk about how it is that we are all involved in the life of the church. Some more involved than others, but each involved in ways that builds up the whole. Well, my friends, same is the situation for us this morning as we sit together in this room. Even if you are a first-time visitor with us today, you have a role. You have a role in the position that you are at, sitting in the pew, praying and worshiping and singing. All of us together make up the whole body of Christ. And because each part of the body is necessary for the whole, we are connected to one another through Christ. Through our functions are often really different, and our gifts and our skills are really different from one another, we are a part of the whole. We are a part of also the whole greater body of church beyond these walls. We depend on one another, I think, to make sure that the church functions as it should. But the gifts that we bring and the parts that we play in the church's work, they're all different. Paul gives us a list of them, and not just in this passage, but at least 20 other parts of his letters to Rome and Corinth and Ephesus. He goes on and on about the gifts that people have in the body of the church. My wish is that we could talk about those gifts more. That is where our attention and our attentiveness to ourselves and to the church could lie more often. I don't know if you've read the book, and if you haven't, I encourage you to write it down and order it. It's called Equipped for Every Good Work. And Dan and Barbara Dick are the authors, and they explain that most churches depend on a structure-based ministry. So in other words, the churches determine what needs to happen in order for the church to function and keep its institution alive. And then they seek members to fit those holes, right? And I would argue, and they argue, that this approach, more often than not, just doesn't work anymore. Partly because our society no longer trusts institutions. So why would we conform ourselves to the institution? And also, frankly, individualism has taken prominence over community. So I'm an individual versus what the whole community needs. But in thinking about it and praying about it over these last many years of ministry, I think good things do happen and could happen when we refocus our ministry toward developing the gifts that God has already placed among us, and then structure our ministry around that giftedness. So basically highlighting the gifts that God has in the body of the church and living thusly. I think this is a pretty radical shift to not just maybe some of who we are, but as a whole church throughout the world. Not just doing what we need to do to maintain the status quo. Not just doing what we need to do to keep an institution breathing and alive, but rather giving breath to the gifts that God has given us. And the good news is, oftentimes you might, even in a slight shift of realize, I am actually using those gifts in the larger body of Christ. And sometimes it is even such a case that you are using the gifts, but you haven't even named them. And sometimes just naming and claiming the gift gives it a whole new life. So the authors, Barbara and Dick, they tell us that gifts-based ministry focuses on people. their gifts, their passions, and their sense of call, and their own Christian vocation. I think the beauty of developing a gifts-based church is that all gifts can be used in many ways, but their purpose remains the same, and that is building up the ministry and equipping the saints for ministry. Our gifts, if you will, are our superpowers. You probably will never think the same way about your gifts if you think of it being a superpower. Well, guess what? God has given us these gifts, and they are indeed super. And they are also powerful. For when we are utilizing and bringing out the gifts that we have, amazing things happen with the gift of the Spirit. Now, I don't think that spiritual gifts are not, they're not only just to be benefiting others. I think they also benefit ourselves. Using our gifts and bringing them out to the fullest potential, always, every single time I see it, draws the individual closer to Christ, closer into a relationship with God, transforming each person into what God has called them truly to be. When Paul says, use your gifts to equip the saints for every good work, I sometimes think that we forget that we have been given, who have been given the gifts, are the saints. We are called to equip one another and even ourselves for ministry. And therefore, exercising those gifts or using those gifts is not something we do just when we feel like it, not just when it's something easy. Serving Christ isn't a hobby or a way to use our spare time to make us feel better about ourselves or to check off something on a list. Using our giftedness is a way that we follow Jesus. It's a call upon our lives. That's what vocation is really all about. I heard a church leader actually recently who I respect. We were in a conversation and we were talking about sort of participation and equipping leaders and churches, and she said, I really wish we could get rid of the word volunteer completely from the vocabulary of churches. Because when we volunteer, it implies that we are using our discretionary time and our energy in an optional activity. I'm volunteering my time. Because we are disciples. Following Jesus is a 24/7 endeavor that requires completely transforming our mindset and our life structure. There's nothing optional about following Christ. It is all who we are and what we do. Our authors from today, they write, when people who are gifted, graced, and equipped for every good work choose to live and work and grow together in community, the church is fulfilling its mission and call to love God and love neighbor through discipleship. So, I'm giving you, like I gave the kids, a bit of a homework. Ready? Seriously, write it down on your bulletin. Nobody's moving. Pull out your bulletin, circle Romans 12. If you haven't spent a little bit of time on Romans 12, I encourage you to do so. Go home, read through it, pray over it. And in your prayer, I pray that you also may have some insight about those gifts that God has given you. Perhaps gifts that you're already using, perhaps gifts that you have you didn't even know. What is God calling you to be about? What is God calling you to bring out from within yourself? I'm really eager as the days and years go on to see the gifts come alive, to see how God will transform us individually, but also as a congregation, bringing about all good things. And through the bringing out of our gifts, my friends, the world is changed, sometimes in small ways, but oftentimes in really big, superpower-filled ways. May your heart be attentive to the gifts. May your spirit align with God's desire for you, so that you know that you truly are gifted and that those gifts are for the greater, good of God's people, so that we may love one another, love ourselves, and love the neighbor. In Jesus' name, amen.